Ian Chesterton stands watching the ponderous rise and fall of the time rotor in the bright gleam of the console room, listening to the grating whine of the ship's engines, wondering, not for the first time, where the old man is taking them this time. The doctor himself stands nearby, beside the console, his fingers dancing over the controls like a pair of ancient bony spiders. For once, Ian muses, the time traveler appears to know what he is doing. Ian turns to see Barbara watching them from the other side of the room. He offers a conspiratorial smile. Susan is trying on costumes in one of the wardrobe rooms elsewhere on the ship. They've already been treated to a glimpse of a Regency ball gown and a shimmering gold dress from the 29th century. Ian wonders what'll be next. For a moment, there is no sound other than the wheezing roar of the engines and the constant background hum of the ship. Barbara steps forward and looks as if she is about to say something when she hears the sound of Susan's voice echoing from a doorway behind her.
Oh, Barbara, do come and see.
She shrugs apologetically and then turns about and disappears into the depths of the ship in search of colourful silks and crinolines, leaving Ian alone once more with the doctor. Ian sighs. He glances back at the doctor, who remains silent, brow furrowed, concentrating on the panel of dials and switches before him. So, Doctor, what is it you have in store for us today? The doctor looks up momentarily, sniffs, and then returns to his work. All in good time, my boy. All in good time. Ian rolls his eyes. It is then that the ship finally judders to a stop, and Ian has to reach out and clutch at the console to steady himself. When he looks up, the doctor is already eyeing the scanner, which displays what appears to be a grassy, verdant landscape outside the ship. The doctor pushes a button on the console, and the doors slowly open, accompanied by a loud buzzing sound. Bright daylight streams in through the opening. The doctor strolls towards it, looking pleased with himself.
Hold on a moment, Doctor. Shouldn't we fetch the others? Says Ian.
The doctor looks frustrated by this potential delay. He waves his hand dismissively, puffs out his chest. Stop prattling, Chester Tom. They'll be perfectly safe in the ship. Come. Shaking his head, Ian follows the doctor out into the striking sunlight, shading his eyes with the back of his hand as they adjust to the harsh light. He feels the warmth of the sun caressing his skin. He finds the doctor surveying the landscape, smiling and tapping his foot contentedly, chuckling to himself. Ian squints in the bright light and the world seems to resolve before him. It's breathtaking, unspoiled, a lush, grassy savanna, punctuated by gentle rolling hills and a shimmering lake of azure blue. Fluffy clouds scud overhead and an enormous moon hangs low in the sky, so clear that Ian can discern its marked and puckered surface, huge swollen craters and seas of grey regolith. He turns from side to side, drinking it all in. The whole place seems somehow primordial, brand new. He glances at the doctor, a question in his eyes. The doctor smiles. When he speaks, it is with a nonchalant, carefree air.
It's a good place as any, Chesterton. I thought we were all in need of a little rest after our brief escapade in France.
You're not wrong, says Ian, with feeling. He's grinning now.
Are you sure you're not just trying to persuade us to stay, bringing us to a beautiful place such as this? Not at all, Chesterton, not at all.
Ian laughs at the doctor's conciliatory tone.
Wait till Barbara sees this place, he says, looking out across the lake.
filling his lungs with the fresh, cool air.
It'll be nice to spend some time not getting ourselves involved in local politics.
Something stirs in the corner of Ian's right eye. He turns towards it. It's nothing but a momentary flash of movement, the ghost of something passing by. But suddenly, his contented mood is banished. He wonders if his mind is playing tricks on him. He's seen so much recently on his travels with the doctor that he might just be imagining things that aren't there. But just when he's ready to concede that it was nothing, he sees another. And this time, he's able to get a better look. It's a face, a pale, ghostly face that seems to bloom into existence for a split second before blinking away again. Lost.
Did you see that?
Exclaims Ian loudly.
What?
The doctor is staring up at the moon.
That face, that... Look. Look, there's another one. And another.
Ian points to the faces hovering in the air nearby. They appear and disappear in the briefest of flashes, like momentary splashes of ink. He's able only to get the slightest impression of what they look like from these glimpses. They have long, equine noses and heavy, ridged brows. But he realizes when he's able to focus on one of them for a split second longer, they belong to thin, humanoid figures.
Fascinating, says the doctor.
And for the first time in a long while, Ian thinks he means it. The old man truly is fascinating. The two travelers watch, transfixed, as more and more of the strange pale faces blossom out of the air before them, appearing for the slightest of seconds before disappearing again, as if they had never been there at all.
Wonderful! The doctor grins and claps his hands together. What are they?
Says Ian, both awestruck and alarmed.
I have absolutely no idea,
said the doctor with a cheerful chuckle.
No idea at all.